Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. On this one, we will talk about the latest post, the first medicine drum journey of 2025 to the web of life. And this is a companion piece to the most recent post, Addiction Separates, the Web Connects. So again, thank you very much for joining me. If you are a longtime subscriber or new subscriber, please hit the little like button wherever you listen to this. And if something inspires you to ask a question or a comment, please send it my way in the comments below, again, on whichever platform you're listening. I record these on Substack, and that is also where the post is, where you will find the written accompanying piece to Addiction Separates, the Web Connects. All right, let's jump into this episode's content. To the medicine drum journey number one for 2025, the web of life. I love this journey. Yeah, I know. You hear me say this all the time. I love this exercise. I love this journey. I love this lesson. But I do, because this one consistently delivers, period. Yes, powerful and insightful experiences, especially for those seeking healing from addiction, trauma, and other associated mental health challenges from the written post. But it delivers. There is something about journeying to the web of life that inherently brings connection. And why this is important? Because addiction separates and the web connects. So connection is the medicine to use for addiction's pathological power of separation. And addiction thrives on this separation, and it thrives on keeping us isolated from loved ones, from what we truly love to do, from those activities that inspire us, illuminate us, and expand our awareness. And also, addiction separates from the places of power that evoke a sense of home and belonging. So when addiction succeeds in separating us, and this separation occurs at every phase in the cycle of addiction, and we'll talk about that a little later, each phase, but for each one of us, it has its own little tricky, slippery languages and secrets that it tries to keep from ourselves. And just, yes. And on a whole, what this isolation achieves, not only from all those loved ones and things we love to do and activities and places, but it makes us much more vulnerable to fear. Fear is much easily given, sprouts in our life. It sprouts out of the ground and takes root when we're isolated, when we're not connected. And this kind of fear is an infection into our thoughts, and it gains momentum that just reinforces the original limiting core beliefs that start the whole cycle of addiction. So, generally speaking, isolation, the empowerment of the limiting core belief, all of this convinces us that right here, right now, in this moment, we are not okay exactly the way we are. This is the great lie. Something's wrong. Something's broken. I am. Fill in that blank for the limiting core belief that we dive into and talk about so much. I am dirty, unlovable, weak. Fill in those blanks. So this isolation and empowerment of the fear also tells us that we deserve it. We deserve to be alone. And you know what? These beliefs, they are true. And then they go about proving themselves true through the cycle of addiction, but we're not there yet. These are just beliefs, and the fear is whispering, maybe shouting, they're true. And as part of this big lie, it also convinces us that relief is only going to be achieved through the familiar, through the old reliable cycle of addiction. So let's go into where this web of life and the medicine of connection is most easily applied and can be understood in the model of things in the cycle of addiction as we use. And in the program that I use, and as I talk about, we go through the five element Chinese cycle: water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And you don't have to understand Chinese medicine to get the basic gist. Very simply, water is equal to the time in the cycle when things are a seed. They are underneath the frozen winter ground. We can't see them. They're in the subconscious. They are at the bottom of the lake. They're at the bottom of the ocean. They're in the dark. But they are seeds nonetheless. And then in wood, things sprout out. And I'm using a plant and the seasons as a way to bring quick and easy illumination to this five-element cycle. So, sprouting out of the ground as a seed in the springtime. I love places where that first plant usually breaks through. The snow's not even gone yet, right? Tulips, crocus, they pop out of the ground. I love that. That hope, spring's coming. I heard that at Punxsutawney. Saw a shadow, ran back into the hall. And spring's not coming for a while for you guys, but we'll see. So this is the wood phase. This is where planting occurs in the cycle of addiction. So based out of the seeds of fear, of beliefs, planting. You know what? I got an idea. I know how to feel better. I know how to make that limiting core belief of I am weak, I am no good, you know what, I know how to make myself strong, better. I can prove it to be wrong, or at least give myself some relief. So we come up with a plan. It goes into fire. The summer, things grow like crazy. This is the acquisition phase. Let's face it, as an addict, think about it. Once we've come up with a plan, very little stands in our way, so this idea of fire, growth in the summertime, growing like crazy, especially when I was up in Canada, there would be that shorter window when the sun was at its peak, and things just boing one day. It wasn't there before, it's there now, and it grows like this, boom. And then the earth element. This is when we collect our fruit. It's the late summer. It's when things have reached its fruition, literally. And in the cycle of addiction, this is after all of the water's underlying beliefs, wood's planning, fire's acquisition. It is now time to use. This happens in the earth element. This is where the journey to the web of life occurs. Because, think about it. In the earth element of the cycle of addiction, it is now time to use. So we, all the planning, all the acquisition, everything that it took to get to this moment, it is now time to partake. Think of that power. I call it the magic moment. When everything is right with the world, when addiction actually works, it's not in the doing of the substance. I was a garbage pail, but my most funnest drug of choice was cocaine. I loved to go fast. So in that moment of using cocaine, when before the doing, all the rituals of using, the chopping, the I chop, you chew, you know the routine. Whatever drug of choice you've got, this is right before it's going down. That's the magic moment. Everything's right with the world. It's actually in the before the doing. Because let's face it, how long does cocaine actually last, right? I mean, poof, done, that's it. When's the next one? Even before the euphoric effects take hold, right? It's literally freaking seconds before I'm thinking about how am I getting my next one? And what I've done is I've immediately skipped over the fifth and final phase of our cycle of addiction, which are the consequences. Because, well, there's more. So I'm not thinking about the consequences yet. I only think about that when I have to, when there is no more, when the sun's coming up, when I have to drive to work without a night of sleep. You know the routine. Okay. So what is it about this phase of earth, this using, all the rituals, the magic moment? I use the term, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation once again with maybe a Catholic, a priest and or nun about the term communion. I revisit these power terms every once in a while, and I think it's time to revisit communion, but to become as one with communion, the actual definition of the word, to become as one with. And that's exactly what's happening from a spiritual perspective with our drug of choice during this particular moment in the cycle of addiction, in the phase of earth. We are becoming as one with when we imbibe, ingest, do our drug or action of choice. And we are most deeply connecting with all of the spirits of that drug of choice, with that role of addict, most obviously, most pointedly at this place. It's so powerful. Which again is why I love the web of life. We'll talk more about communion with the drug of choice and then connection with healthy things a little later when we get into the actual journeying. But for right now, I want to talk about the good side of the earth element when we when we break the cycle of addiction and we enter into the cycles of life in a healthy way and we go into the cycle of recovery, that gathers momentum going downhill, just like the cycle of addiction did, but for all the good reasons. So instead of being in communion with our drug of choice, we receive connection and the medicine of connection in the form of support. We receive the medicine of connection with a new idea of home. We receive nourishment. I'll leave that. That's another big power word that doesn't just mean for our physical bodies, right? How do we nourish our soul? How do we nourish our spirit? How do we nourish our emotional body? How do we nourish our mental capacities? And then again, communion. So the journey to the web of life can deliver support and the medicine of connection in all of these forms, and which is again why I don't want to color or try to steer you before you have your journey, because you're going to get what you're going to get, and yeah, I don't want to mess it up. So let's get into the actual journey. So on the post, in the post, I, as always, will include an audio file if you would like 10 minutes of monotonous, steady drumming with the, actually it's about 9 minutes, and then there's the 1 minute callback. So the whole thing's about 10 and a half minutes to where you can actually undertake this journey. And the intention is, simply put, I will ask my compassionate and helping spirits to take me to the web of life. Your journey intention, if you so desire to take it, is I will ask my helping and compassionate spirits to take me to the web of life. And I leave it very open-ended on purpose. And I have a list of after journey questions on in the post. So again, if you want to undertake the journey without being influenced, you know, you can stop this podcast now. Or if you know it doesn't influence you one way or another, here we go. The after journey questions are, how did the web appear to you? What were your initial impressions and feelings when you landed upon, came to, or were infused as part of the web of life? And those are all questions. What were your initial impressions and feelings? How did connection occur here? So that is my way of asking, how were you connected to this web? Were you at some point watching it, or at any point were you a node on the web, N-O-D-E. Were you a node? Were you a point of contact on the web? And if so, what were you connected to? What were you connected to that was close? What were you connected to maybe that was farther away? How did these connections feel? And then a couple of questions about travel. I love this because I've had someone explain to me, and it's always stayed with me because I get it. And many people who have traveled the web, and I've seen the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, have that kind of going down a wormhole, but that wormhole is a strand in the web. And it's as if space and time kind of fold upon each other, and, you know, great distances can be traversed in little to no time. People ask me, you know, what's the fastest element, agent in the universe. I like to say thought, because thought can take us from here to wherever there is, wherever you're thinking, faster than ordinary reality can carry us. So what was travel like for you on the web, if you did indeed do this? I had another person that they reported, you know, the great grandmother weaver spider of the web, which comes from certain indigenous mythologies, and meeting her and traversing the web through her by being carried with her and merged her was an extremely powerful experience for her, for that particular journeyer. So, you know, one's not better than the other. You're going to come up with your way of doing things, and maybe you don't travel at all. Maybe you stay in one particular part or witness one particular aspect. Take note when you come back. So when you are there, one question I like to ask pretty much wherever you go at the end, whether it's from the actual web or a helping and compassionate spirit that has appeared for you, or an old and reliable helping and compassionate spirit that you depend upon, what do you need to do back here in ordinary reality to anchor in this experience? This is what makes the spiritual practical. In other words, it's wonderful that you experience and receive knowledge, information, and healing power on these journeys. And it's equally important to bring back this healing, information, knowledge, and power and manifest it, to apply it here in your life. What do you need to do to stay connected to this web, to reinforce your connections that you saw that you want to stay connected with? Or is there something you need to do here in ordinary reality to facilitate disconnection from things on the web that you want to be separate from? And then, as always, how do you feed what is important to you? The spirits of what is important to you, the actions that is important to you back here in ordinary reality. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that one particular aspect of dismantling some of the connections that you don't want to be connected to on the web of life. And as a question, I'll call it fairly common. It's not, maybe 10% of the time. And for people in recovery, they have what might be deemed a negative experience and come back with a, "Randy, that sucked. I really didn't like being connected in the web. And as a matter of fact, I felt stuck. You know, the web was like a spider's web, and that, like, you know, Spider-Man had me iron webbed down onto these connections with X, Y, and Z that just remind me of and facilitated the cycle of addiction and or the consequences that I caused, and or the consequences or the situations that my addiction sprung out of, you know, my childhood trauma, those situations that then led to the addiction. All of these things I was completely stuck to, and I had this experience of being stuck, and I wasn't sure, coming back now, what the heck I need to do to get unstuck. Now what? This, again, is a fairly common, but not, you know, more, I'd say 10% of the people will have this kind of quote-unquote negative experience when doing a specific shamanic journey to a place of power and not ordinary reality like the web of life. Well, okay then. I don't know. You can always, number one, go back and ask your helping and compassionate spirits. What's the deal? I don't like this. What do I need to do to get unstuck? Number two, show me how to do it. Number three, to go ahead and do it in non-ordinary reality first. If you enjoy garnering experience from the shamanic journey, I highly recommend doing it this way. Going back and asking for help from your trusted helping and compassionate spirits. Not immediately. Chances are there is a bigger reason why we are shown the truth of exactly where we are on the web. And if it's painful, maybe we need to acknowledge that pain, whether it's pain we caused others, pain we cause ourselves, or the original pains that then birthed our addiction. Maybe we need more awareness on it, and one way that we are able to do that through feeling the experience is, as in this case, going to the web of life and experience it and feeling it. Now, this person that was most recently that had this experience actually did it the other way, which is, I just told you, leave a little space and time, bring this awareness of the original quote-unquote negative journey to the web of life, hang on to it for a little while, maybe a few days, maybe a week, and then when you go back and do it, ask those questions and see what happens. This person who most recently transformed a negative connection to the web of life did what they were supposed to do here in ordinary reality first. In other words, Randy, this stunk. And I was told to do this, this, and this. And for them, they are on a 12-step path. So they were stuck at a particular place in their 12-step growth, and it was absolutely self-imposed, and the pathology, let's just call it avoidance. Storytelling, which will be a common theme here, where it's they had a tendency to fall back into the same old story, which just put them in the role of victim, and they would avoid doing what they had to do the next steps, the literal next step, because they were working the 12 steps, with their sponsor and with the people that they know in their home group. So they did that first. And then when they came back and revisited the web of life, when they went to the web of life, all of that stuckness, all of that being held down, they reported it as cotton candy just melting away those strands. It was as if the strands that were Iron Spider-Man strands before were now dissolving like cotton candy because they did the work in ordinary reality. They made the spiritual practical, and then when they went back to the spiritual, it transformed in front of their eyes and the strands to the connections of the painful melted like cotton candy. Beautiful. So again, that's why I say I don't know. I don't know if your path will be you should, right? Love that word. You should wait a week and then revisit the non-ordinary reality, go to the drumming and see if that's the right path for you because your helping and compassionate spirits will do what you need to do in non-ordinary reality, and that will help you then in ordinary reality, or do you need to first do the work here in ordinary reality, especially if the steps were made clear for you what you need to do, and then go back and revisit it and see what happens. So this is another one of those examples of a negative experience in a journey can be felt as experience in a safe manner. That's why another reason, again, why I love this form of shamanic journeying, where you are not taken over. You have agency, you have control, it's steady, monotonous drumbeat and a little bit of training, and that's all there is to it. You don't need the ingestion of something that you may not be in control of, talking about psychedelics, or so on and so forth. You have the ability to participate. It's not just sitting back in the chair and watching what's happening. There's this wonderful muscle that I talk about often of surrender versus control, the head versus the heart. There is absolutely an element of surrender that must be applied to the head's desire to control everything. And there must be an element of discipline and training applied to the heart's ability to just open up. So that's the wonderful tightrope that we do during the shamanic journey. And that's our participation. And in working that muscle, we establish, maintain, and continue our relationships with the helping and compassionate spirits. We garner and then are worthy of trust. One of the themes you'll hear me talk about very often on this podcast and all my work, trust. A big deal in addiction and recovery, right? So as you gain trust in your spirits, as you gain trust in this process, as you gain trust in then making the spiritual practice, does it work or does it not work? If it doesn't work, well, then you just performed yourself a science experiment. Why doesn't it work? And we can talk about that. Is it part of your beliefs? Is it part of your applications? Is it something else? But this is absolutely a science. As Maladoma used to say, this is a scientific technology. This is a scientific spiritual technology. It needs to be applicable. So experiences that bring us, in this case, connect us to parts of the web that are painful are not bad. It's something that needs to be shown to us in this moment, in this time, that needs to be healed, and its energy and power, two different things, need to be transformed. This kind of transformation is also an aspect of what happens in the earth element. In Chinese medicine, this is the organ system of the spleen as the yin organ and the stomach as the yang organ. And they are responsible. The earth is responsible for taking in. It's also the yi, our focus, taking in mental, physical, emotional, spiritual information and experience and transforming it and then transporting it where it needs to go. So the transformation, what happens is this. Let's go with food. It's a simple, easy example. So the food comes in. When it hits the earth element, when it hits the organ system of the spleen is responsible. The spleen qi is responsible for transforming this physical food into good qi and waste. Very simple. Yin and yang. Good qi and waste. So it's responsible for extracting the good qi, what modern science would call the nutrition, but what we call, same basic stuff, the good qi. So we're taking that out of the food, and then we're eliminating the waste. Okay, we can say the waste, we can move that along down the system. The next organ will take care of that. Pass it along. Because here and now, we need to transform this raw food that just landed on me into something we can use. Let's take what we can use, the good qi, and let's get rid of the waste and the rest. Now that's food. But this same exact system also takes care of, let's talk about mental. How do you nourish your mental capacities? How do you nourish your spiritual capacities? How do you nourish your emotional capacities? It is the same system. And generally speaking, as you do one, you'll do everything. As you do one thing, you'll do everything. So if you set up the structure to be able to correctly remove what is useful and good and allow the rest to go, addiction, resentments, that's something that wasn't let go of. That's something that's being held on to, right? So, all right, let a resentment pop, plop. It lands into my awareness that I've visited the web of life and I am connected to this particular pattern of resentments, or let's just say this one node of resentment. I've got a strand between me and my resentment and I'm stuck. How does spleen qi help me with this? Well, what do I need to know about this? What is the wisdom I can extract from, in this case, a resentment that I'm having? What is it about this particular situation that I remain angry at this person in this situation for? You know, can I take the wisdom out of that and then let everything else that is waste go? I need to transform this resentment into good qi and let the rest go. Maybe it's as simple as, oh, maybe I shouldn't expect this person to be that way or respond to my feelings, requests, demands, whatever, in a particular way, and then they don't meet them over and over again. Maybe I need to change my expectation. There, I just extracted some wisdom out of that situation, and I'm going to let the rest go. Oh, it's as simple as my side of the street. My side of the street is expectation. I need to let go of, their side of the street. If I let go of how they react and respond to my requests, look at that. I don't have a resentment. Poof. So this is the same element, earth. This is the same organ system, spleen. This is the same abilities to be able to transform what comes in into something I could use, whether that's for the energy of my body, whether that is a thought that is carrying content. What can I use? And then what can I let go of? What is waste? What does not apply to me? And let that go. A very important phase in the cycle of addiction, obviously, and a very important ability to be able to do. Now, this, because in the cycle of addiction, this is the place where we are imbibing and taking in, using our drug of choice or action of choice. This is where it actually goes down. There is a physicalness that occurs here that isn't as required in the rest of the cycle. So physicalness is also required here. How often have you been stuck in your mind, in an emotion, in just ruminating, which is the pathological emotion associated with Chinese medicine to this part of the cycle, just over and over again, without, you know, coming up with a clear answer out? And the answer was to go move. You know, I'm just going to go to the gym. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to, as I told my client this morning, I take a cold shower. It's like, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. It's like I'm literally carrying my body there while my body is while my mind is complaining the whole way. And, you know, for 15 seconds when that cold shower hits, and it takes me a minute or two to, it takes a few seconds, right, to get control of my breath, to regain control of my breathing, and then the whole damn thing changes. It transforms. I transformed my whole state. Despite carrying my complaining butt into the shower, listening to that. Thank you very much for your opinion. Here we go. So these are all aspects of the earth element. These are all aspects of spleen qi in Chinese medicine. I'm going to nerd out for one more second on Chinese medicine, and that one of the things about the five element system that other four element systems around the world complain about is that there is not a clear way to have the Venn diagrams overlap. Five doesn't really work with four unless, as in one particular earth school, which I had the pleasure of studying when I went to school. I went to a doctor who was a family lineage holder of the earth school of Chinese medicine, which I was not really honored at the time. but now, you know, the blessings, right? Like, oh, I was a schmuck, but I'm glad I did it because it gave me a whole lot more than I thought going in. And what they do is they place the earth in the center, and around the outside is a wheel of the four elements. So you do have north, south, east, and west, and spleen is the center. Taking this even further into a three-dimensional image, the spleen at the center becomes the axis mundi, becomes the tree of life, becomes the way down into the lower world, the way that it is distributing to the four elements in this middle world, and the pathway up into the upper world. I love this, and it's powerful, because when you look at it as a two-dimensional drawing on a piece of paper, what ends up happening, a piece of paper, or on the digital screen, is it looks like a weaving, because as you are receiving the chi, instead of going around the outside of the circle from one into the next, you have to go, when you're done with your particular phase of doing something, let's call it water, when water is done doing its water thing, it delivers its information to be received by the spleen at the center. And then it goes from the spleen at the center to the wood element. And then the wood element does what it does and brings it back to the spleen. And then the spleen brings it back, earth, brings it back up to fire, just to keep them elements instead of bringing in organs. And then when fire is finished, it goes down to earth. And then when earth is done with receiving from the fire, it then delivers that to metal. So it looks like a weaving pattern. It looks like a web. And I'm not so much a keen believer in coincidences, and I love when truths are repeated and synchronistically appear. I will bring up Maladoma Somei again here in this episode, in that one of my first times with him, I asked him while he was doing a divination reading with me, and I was like, oh, will you take a look at that? Did you ever notice that your five elements are from Burkina Faso in West Africa are the exact same as the Chinese? And guess what? You got them in the same order, and you use the same colors. Isn't that interesting? Even there were some differences, but it was way too much of a similarity to be an accident in my idea. So when I asked him about this, he just went, well, when things are true, why wouldn't people from different parts of the world recognize the truths? And I love that way of thinking, as opposed to my mind trying to control an answer of, well, you know, when did this come over? Who had it first? What was the Silk Road pathway, you know, from here to there? And instead of those mind answers, to just surrender into a heart answer like the one he gave me. It's a truth. Why can't our hearts, wherever we are, recognize the truth? I think that's a good place to end this episode of The Sober Shaman and our journey and our exploration of the journey to the web of life. And if you so decide to take this journey, I would love to hear what you received. If you have any questions, you can refer back to the written post from the Substack. On my Substack, The Sober Shaman. Please like anywhere you have this. And it would be my hope that, yes, your heart recognizes these truths and you receive the knowledge, information, and healing power that you need at this particular time. And until next time, thanks for listening and blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.